Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Martin Bain.
I'm Homer Fife. And Martin, I know that me and you have been tossing this around, and there's something that I want to put out first thing because I am excited about this. We are going to start doing some debates.
Absolutely. We want to get people on board with Homer and I to talk about key and controversial issues. So if you're interested in being part of the show, we'd call you up, record you, and then have a good debate on varying subjects. And we've got some ideas, I think, for the initial shows. We were going to maybe look at gun control, at abortion, capital punishment, things like that one. So if you're up to maybe go one side or the other on that one and you want to be part of the show, you know what you've got to do. You've got to either you, Homer or I, or email us.
Now look, people, don't be shy about this. This is something where Martin or myself can call you on the phone. You don't have to have Skype, although it would be convenient if you did. And you are going to be in a well-moderated, professional debate with another member of Above Top Secret, debating very controversial issues. And this is going to be something that's going to be professionally done, and it's all going to be political. So, you know, if you feel strongly about, and I know some of you do feel strongly about some of these issues, get some information to us about what it is you would like to debate. Like I said, we already have ideas initially for some of the first shows, but please send us your ideas, send us what you feel passionate about, and we will get somebody on here to talk to you about these issues.
And we will be creating a thread for this at some stage. So that's a task for me and you. That's a hint for me and you to create that thread. So we will get that sorted. But we're excited. We're trying to find new ideas for the show. And this is something, as Homer said, we've been sort of tossing around there for a while, and we've decided to take the plunge and see what happens.
And I'll tell you what, I am absolutely excited about it, but I'm not near as excited as I am about the AIG bonuses.
Can you believe that? I mean, you know, what sort of motivates these people, you know, the senior management of AIG, to turn around and say, guess what, guys, we've crippled the company. We've asked for billions of pounds from the, oh, sorry, billions of dollars, bit of a Freudian slip there. But if you had the pounds, your economy probably wouldn't be in the mess it is. you know, they've taken billions of dollars from the US taxpayer, and then they're still wanting to pay bonuses. And you have to think, have you not woken up? Do you not smell the coffee? Do you not see what's going on in the world? And one of the interesting things is I just see the House of Representatives has passed a bill to try and tax these things, levy a 90% tax on big bonuses paid to firms that have been bailed out by the taxpayer. And I think we would more often than not criticize our legislative lawmaking institutions and machines, but for once you have to think these people might actually have their fingers on the pulse.
I can't believe it. It just amazes me that the U.S. lawmakers are actually doing something that makes sense. I mean, they're doing a 90% tax on bonuses paid to the employees that they're making over $250,000, and hoorah, I'm glad. Let me tell you, you know, all of a sudden, I'd love to see the looks on their faces when their bonus checks are 10% of what they anticipated.
Exactly, but what I'm interested in, I was looking at an article on the BBC website, and it said there were actually 93 members of the House who weren't in favour of this legislation, and you have to think, just how interesting a time are they going to have when they get back to their states, and, you know, maybe people start analysing this, and someone, you know, who's maybe been let go by a major automotive company, or their building contractor said, we don't need you anymore. You know, how is the member going to face the person who then says, yeah, well, I'm about to lose my house, yet you were quite happy for these, you know, greedy people to keep their money? And that's what I love about democracy, is that, you know, someone would be able to name all 93 members members of the House of Representatives who voted against this piece of legislation.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. I will guarantee you that a large percentage of the 93 members that voted against this legislation are receiving, how shall I put this, monies from AIG. And look, folks, you know, me or Martin, neither one, and I'm going to speak for you here, Martin, we're not against giving bonuses if that bonus came from legitimate money earned by the company. If the company wasn't accepting U.S. taxpayers' money, who cares how many bonuses they give? The problem is they're giving the bonuses from the money that we're paying them out of our tax dollars. That's the audacious thing about this.
And I have to agree with you. I mean, we've discussed it on the show regarding Sir Fred Goodwin, who was the chairman or was the CEO of Royal Bank of Scotland, who got us, you know, a £700,000 a year pension. And now there's been some moves to sort of try and get that reduced. And he's just dug his heels in and said, well, guess what? This was a contract that I signed, you know, and I'm surprised in the UK that someone hasn't thought about this one and said, well, fine then, if you want to keep this, we'll just pass a special piece of legislation that says, you know, the Sir Fred Goodwin 90% Pension Tax Act of 2009, and we could actually do that if we wanted to. As I've said, amazing that the, you know, House of Representatives have got their finger on the pulse for once. It's just disappointing that maybe around the world some other people haven't sort of said, well, we can probably, you know, make a lot of political capital here, because I bet a lot of people are now thinking, actually, you know, I'm not that favour of my House or my representative, but hang on a minute, he's done this one, I might vote for him next time round.
Give us some time. I think this is going to spread. I think this is a good idea. Now, and look, everybody here knows I'm a capitalist, and I am all for small government, and the government needs to stay out of our business. But when you've got a business like AIG that's taking advantage of taxpayer dollars, and there's no other way to look at this, they're taking advantage of this bailout money. That, I mean, there's just really no other way to look at it. Then that's when the government does need to step in and say, whoa, hold on. Okay, maybe you do have a contract. Fine. We'll honor your contract, but we're going to take 90% of it back in taxes. I think it's fantastic.
I think absolutely great idea. And, you know, if politicians from around the rest of the world are listening, I think for once you could not go far wrong by actually looking at what's been done in the House of Representatives and thinking, can we do this in our countries? And maybe here's a hint for Gordon Brown, as I'm pretty sure he would listen to a quality show like this one. Gordon, you could probably gain a lot of political capital by saying you're going to do the same thing in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, why not get it started? You know, it had to start somewhere. Now, Martin, let's talk for a second. I was looking over there on that newspaper that you've got, the BBC, is that what it's called?
The newspaper, the British Broadcasting Corporation.
But anyway, something caught my eye, that lottery funds for D-Day veterans. Bravo.
Finally. Yeah, and this was something that I'd seen some time ago, and there was a little bit of argument. It's coming up to the 65th anniversary of D-Day. It's going to be, you know, an opportunity for an ever decreasing number of veterans from that operation to go and attend, and they're saying this could be the last time that a lot of them get the opportunity. And the reason I was interested in this story was really that initially the government sort of said they weren't going to do anything about this one, and I think a lot of pressure was put on, and the fact that other countries, I mean, even Germany, for example, you know, France, the US, Canada, and other countries that put troops forward on D-Day were planning to help their veterans go to this event, and all of a sudden the government have made a change, and they've now, you know, said that the big lottery fund will pay so that veterans can attend. You know, it staggers me that a bank goes bleating to our government, oh yeah, we've messed up, we've made some horrendous decisions, our government will just, you know, spend billions of pounds, yet a few people who, you know, prepared to put their lives on the line, you know, there are very few people alive today who have any comprehension of what that must be like.
Oh, you know, absolutely. And I'll tell you the sad part of all this, Martin, just to me interject here, is there's only apparently 500 UK veterans that are still fit enough to make that journey, and that's the sad part.
Yeah,
hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, and personally, I have to personally say, if that costs £1,000 to send them all, that's £500,000 in the grand scheme of what we've given to the UK banks. It's a drop in the ocean, and I think most people will now turn around and see this and say, fair play, step up to the plate, honour these people for the, you know, for the sacrifice they made and the sacrifice that thousands of people died on all sides of the Second World War. And I just think this is great. This is just shows that, you know, when people get together and put the pressure, governments and organizations will listen and they will turn around and say, this is the right thing to do. So fair play to whoever thought this was a good thing to do. For once, again, people seem to have their finger on the pulse.
And I'll put this out to any politicians in my country that may be listening to this broadcast, which you should be listening to it. You know, it's time maybe for you to step up and do a little something like this, too, because a whole lot of our guys went over there, and a whole lot of our guys lost their lives as well. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt. You know, you're putting all this money out here for the economy, and you're bailing out General Motors, and you're bailing out Chrysler. And you're just throwing these billions of money that is so huge, it's incomprehensible. Throw a few dollars the way of the veterans and let them go and let them remember and let the world see that for once, maybe one time, we can do a good thing.
Absolutely right. I think that's, you know, there's not often I think Homer and I get fairly passionate about something, but I think both of us, you know, I've had relatives, my, you know, who passed away in Dunkirk and D-Day and things like that, you know, and I just, you know, think it's something we ought to do to honour these people. And not just honour people who fought in the Second World War, but, you know, you can disagree with whether we should be in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a different matter. But the fact that, you know, throughout the US, the UK and across the world, we have soldiers who are just obeying orders that our governments have put in front of them. They're prepared to go and lay their lives on the line to keep us alive and healthy. I just think we should continue to honour our veterans. And just a little aside here, there was an interesting case. I think a regiment came back, was parading through Luton, and there was a small protest by, and people can shoot me for this one, by Muslims who were saying that they were, you know, killers of children and, you know, they shouldn't be doing it. And it's interesting that the police had to move the people on rather quickly because the crowd who were there cheering the soldiers coming home got a little bit excited, and there was a fear for these people's lives. And I have to turn around and say, this is a real double for me here. You know, I live in a country where you have the right to do that, but then in one hand I think that you shouldn't have the right to do that. You know, these are our soldiers. You know, why was police money and time taken up protecting these people? Now, there's a part of me that says here, Homer, wouldn't it have been nice if the police just disappeared for half an hour?
Now, let me tell you something, and you know we have that church that goes around to the military funerals. This is something, Martin, that you know that I served, and some of the things that I did, it wasn't the prettiest things, but let me tell you something. I don't care, and I'll put this out, I do not care one whit how you feel about what's going on in Iraq or Afghanistan. Those soldiers are over there, and they're over there under orders, and they are simply doing what those of us who no longer can do or those of us who won't do. And they are putting their lives on the line, and they are doing what they're told to do, and they should be honored for that because they are defending and protecting this country in every breath that they take. And these idiots who get out here and do this protesting, when all we're doing is honoring a soldier, we're not honoring the war, people. Okay, when you see something like this, especially like these D-Day veterans going back, we're not honoring what happened there. You heard what Martin said. Even Germany is involved in this because we're not honoring the war. No one's saying that one side or the other is the better side or the best side. Nobody cares about that at this point. What we're talking about are the soldiers, the men and women who gave their lives and died for their countries, fighting for something that, whatever you may believe, they believed in dying for their country. So how you feel about the war, I could give a crap. You need to honor these men and women. And you know what? If you don't, I have no respect for you. And Martin, I agree. Why can't the police disappear and let the public take care of these idiots?
Yes, I think we might hold that one for another show. Or if you want to come onto the show thread and post away on that subject, I suspect there's probably a very good reason that they were there, but it was interesting to see the footage and just see how angry some of these people actually got. And, you know, typically in the UK we tend to be fairly placid, but interesting, they also had another ceremony in another town in the same region, and there was no hint of any kind of dissent there, and the turnout to welcome the soldiers back to that town was fairly large. So I have to think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, you have to forgive me. I get a little emotional there, Martin. But
I quite agree. But I was just thinking of emotions. I'm sure I'm just sort of dancing around the world a bit. Yes, your president does seem to have gaffed a little regarding bowling. And you have to think, wake up, you're on a primetime TV show. You know, did you really think that this might go unnoticed? Or what was going through his brain when he sort of made the analogy between his poor bowling skills and those attending the Special Olympics?
Now, for those of you that don't know, this is a thread on Above Top Secret, and the title of the thread, it's in Breaking Alternative News, is Obama Apologizes to Special Olympics for Bowling Joke. And apparently what he did is he rolled a gutter ball, which we've all done, anybody that's bowled, and he makes the comment, it was like the Special Olympics or something. And, you know, I laugh, Martin, but kind of down inside of me, I'm a little upset, too. I worked with Special Olympics. Most people in my profession do. And I've seen the wonder that is the Special Olympics and how fantastic it is. And I just, you know, and a lot of people are making excuses for him, saying, well, he's just human. No, he's not. He is the President of the United States. And, you know, he needs, and I understand that Obama's absolutely lost without his teleprompter, but there should be somebody there, you know, saying, say this, say that. I mean, if the man can't be trusted to be in public without making some kind of a fool statement like this, then what are we looking at down the road? Now, can you imagine, let me ask you this, Martin, what do you think would have happened if George Bush would have made that statement?
He'd have been absolutely panned. You know, I can imagine people would have been absolutely demanding his resignation there and then, saying he was a disgrace and all these. And I have to agree with you. People should be saying the same to Barack Obama. People need to say to him, what were you thinking about? Why would you say that? You know, I mean, it staggers me that here's a man who, you know, appears to have brought, you know, a good feeling to the state, you know, his yeah. election, and there seems to be a lot of very positive feeling, and it's silly things like this that, you know, will erode that goodwill that he has faster than anything. Because if the economy doesn't pick up, he's almost immune. He can turn around and say, hey, I inherited this one. If things don't go as well as they should do in Iraq and Afghanistan and with Mexico, he can turn around and say, I inherited these things. But you know, things like that. I mean, I can imagine, you know, when he got home, you know, I can imagine that his wife probably has given him a harder time and just saying, do you know how stupid you looked? But yeah, you're right. Well, you know, you can call for his resignation. I, you know, this definitely isn't a resigning matter in that sense of the word. But what people should be saying to him is, you are the President of the United States. A lot of people will listen to you because you are President of the United States. You need to think about what you say.
Well, what I think gets me is when you contrast this thread with another thread that's going on right now called Why Do People Listen to Rush Limbaugh? One of the things that's brought out there is all the liberals are jumping into Why Do You Listen to Rush Limbaugh and making comments like, well, you know, he's sexist and he makes all these comments. Well, Rush Limbaugh's an entertainer. Now, if the liberals want to jump on somebody's back for making stupid comments, why aren't they on this thread? That's the thing that amazes me. You know, Rush Limbaugh is a private citizen who has his own show, owned lock, stock, and barrel by himself. He can say whatever he wants to, you know, within the FCC regulations. But here you have a politician, somebody that we're paying, that we elected, who is insulting an entire group of people here in the United States. It amazes me.
Well, and you have to broaden it. It's not just the United States. He's basically offended anybody across the world who either, you know, takes part in the Special Olympics across the world, or, as you say, people, you know, who are involved professionally or give up their free time to make the Special Olympics what it is. You're right. I mean, but I think, you know, I think we always will see in politics an appalling double standard here, you know, and quite rightly, Barack Obama should stand up and say, yeah, I think he has absolutely accepted that, you know, he said something in jest, and who among us hasn't said something that, you know, we think was funny at the time, or maybe we've offended someone, or we've upset someone, or we're even looking back and we're thinking, did I really say that? Just how stupid does that make me look? But I agree, we expect a higher standard from our leaders, and quite rightly so. We should do, because, you know, this man is the President of the United States. A lot of people We'll listen to what he has to say.
But, and I'll say this. This is a prime chance for him. And now, Brock, if you're listening to this radio broadcast, if you were to stand up right now and do a broadcast to the nation, to the world as a whole, and say, look, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I should never have said that. It was hurtful, and it was insensitive. That would go a long way towards solidifying my opinion of him anyway.
Absolutely, and we could also give him the opportunity that he could do it via the Above Politics show if he wanted to as well.
Oh, I'd love to interview Barack Obama. Come on, buddy.
Yes, bring it on. So just moving around the states a little bit, I almost noticed another news article about that Attorney General Eric Holder said that some detainees being held at Guantanamo Bay may end up being released in the U.S. Now, I've got to think that's going to be an interesting time. Are they going to put them under 24-hour security? Are they going to change their identities? Are they going to put them into some kind of protection program? Because I can imagine if you live in a neighborhood and you discovered that your neighbor, your new neighbor, you know, had been released from Guantanamo Bay, are you going to be best pleased?
I hate to say it, Martin, but I'm going to say it. Told you so. I told you this was going to happen. And let me tell you something. Everybody that lives here in the United States needs to be outraged, absolutely outraged over this, because some of these Guantanamo Bay prisoners are going to wind up living next to you and me, and that is absolutely ridiculous, and I can't believe it's even happening. I said it was going to happen, but I still can't believe it.
I mean, you can make the argument that, you know, some of the people in Guantanamo Bay, or a lot of the people in Guantanamo Bay, have never been convicted in any kind of judicial process, so you could turn around and say, if you've released people from Guantanamo Bay and you've never tried them, therefore, under the standards that you and I accept, we would say they are innocent because they have never been found guilty under any auditable.
Hold on. Don't lump me in there, because you and I accept. No, I don't accept it, because they do not qualify for the judicial system. They are being detained. They are being held as prisoners of war. I have no idea why people can't get their minds around this. They are not privy to, nor should they have access to, the American jurisprudence system, because they are prisoners of war.
Okay,
they
I just said judicial system. I didn't necessarily say the U.S. system. I would also imply there the U.S. military system. So I'm not just saying.
Okay.
So I was, my point there was to say that even under U.S. military judicial, they've never been found guilty of anything. So what you've got is people here who potentially will be released who have never been found guilty or even tried under any kind of auditable judicial system, be it civilian or be it military.
And, you know, I agree, but then again, and look, I'm just going to reflect back to some of the other wars. There were a whole lot of prisoners of war being held during World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, that once the conflict was over, they were just released. I mean, it's just, but as bad as it is, it happened.
But I think the real point here is that, you know, potentially they're going to be released back into the States. Well, you know, if Correct. You've been picked up from Afghanistan or Iraq, why can't you release them back there? I would agree with you here. The point is, why would you release these people back into the U.S. unless they're U.S. citizens? And, you know, and I can agree with that. I mean, just recently, we've had somebody who was detained at Guantanamo Bay who was a British resident who's been released back to the United Kingdom. Fine. Okay. If he's been released and he is a British citizen, yeah, we have the obligation to say, right, you can come to this country. But if they're, you know, Pakistani, Afghan, or whatever nationality, well, why don't we just release them back there? I do agree in that point of view. Why do these people have to be released back to the U.S. when they're not U.S. citizens?
Because the bleeding heart liberals are afraid if we release them back to their home countries, they'll be tortured, and they probably would be, you know. But hey, I'm sorry for your luck. You were born in wherever, you know.
I mean, but I have to turn around and say, hang on a minute. So we're not comfortable to send people back to Iraq and Afghanistan, countries where there's a fairly large, substantial, I don't know how you call it, US, NATO, British military presence here, that we believe that, you know, it's not right. I mean, sending these people back to Iran, are they actually going to be tortured? And sending these people back to Jordan, my question here is, why would they be tortured by their own governments? You know, if you've been in Guantanamo Bay for 6 years and you're a Jordanian, you know, Jordan typically and Syria, maybe the better example would be Syria, maybe, if you're a Syrian. You know, Syria doesn't exactly have the best relationships with the US and the United Kingdom. Why, if you ship someone back to Syria, are they going to be tortured because they've been in Guantanamo Bay for 6 years?
You know, Martin, I don't have an answer for you.
And I'm not. You know, it was just a point to raise that I just can't see the logic there. Why would you want to do that? It's very, very strange here. But yes, you're absolutely right. Again, we called it on this show. You know, people ought to start listening to this show more, because sometimes we see things that are happening in the future.
And we also, as you can see what we've done today, we also highlighted a lot of the above top secret threads too. And you know, you put up a good thread, we'll talk about it.
Exactly. And I'd still go back to us and say, and where is Sir Alan Stanford? Has anyone found Sir Alan Stanford yet? No.
The search goes on.
The search goes on.
He's dead.
Yes, I think, you know, I think he's been knocked on the head by somebody. So,
and I'm starting to agree with you. I think they might have found him by now if he wasn't.
Exactly. So certainly one of the things that we will have is a Homer rant to the end of this show. I'm not sure whether Homer is going to be generous and give us any clues about his rant, or he may just say, nope, you've got to listen to the end of the show to know what he's going to rant about.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Martin. Since I feel so passionate about it, I think I'm going to rant about the treatment of soldiers.
Fair play. So there you have it. We will have a rant at the end of this show. And remember, if you agree, disagree with anything we've said, you want to post your views on anything we've said, you know, you've got to find the show thread and post away. And just to reinforce it on the debate shows, they will be coming up. Clearly, we need somebody from either side of a subject to come on the show. So the debate shows will not happen with just me and Homer. They need you, the ATS member, to say, I want to stand up and I want to put my opinion on this side of a debate. And we need to find someone who will put it on the other side of the debate. So you to us, email us, or if you want to post questions, we will get a thread somewhere in the ATS mix area.
And look, let me make a note of, make a comment on this, Martin. It doesn't matter how long you've been an above top secret member, okay? You could have joined yesterday. If you have strong feelings about this, get in contact with us. Send us a U2U, and we will respond, and you can be on the show.
Absolutely. And it's not, and don't, as Homer said, don't be frightened. This isn't, you know, this, we want to run this, you know, Homer and I are probably going to be, you know, really hard taskmasters on this one. We want to make sure that it's done properly and professionally. And if we think that someone's overstepping the rules, we have the ability, we, you know, we will control the show, so to speak. So don't be afraid about that one. And if you're nervous, hey, we understand that one. You know, when both Homer and I started doing these shows, you know, I can remember the first show I ever did, I was pretty nervous. So, but it, you know, over time you just get comfortable. So don't be afraid.
And, you know, like Martin said, we're going to run the show. So, you know, if you make a gaffe or you make a mistake, you know, we do. You know, we make the mistakes, and we'll take care of that. So don't worry about that.
And one day we may actually even air some of those.
Not on your life.
Yeah, no, fortunately not those. I will admit there is probably one gaffe of mine, which fortunately I suspect that Mr. Oldham has destroyed all the evidence of, and maybe one day I might tell the good folk what that gaffe was, but it was early on in my career being the host of one of these shows. But we are coming close to time, and we want to make sure we have enough time for Homer's rant. So I just want to say thank you very much for listening to the Above Politics show.
Thank you, everybody. And I'm Homer Fife.
And I'm Martin Bain. And we'll see you next time on the Above Politics show.
Hello, everyone. This is Homer Fife, and, well, this is just the way I see it. I want to talk to you just for a minute today about something I feel passionate about, and I'm going to try to stay as calm as possible, although it's difficult. The men and women who are overseas right now in Afghanistan and Iraq specifically, but you can lump in South Korea and Okinawa, Japan, the Philippines, Diego Garcia, all the different places that we have troops stationed. They're there because they are brave enough and they are strong enough to have stepped up and fought for what they believe in. fought and die, to fight and die for what you believe in is a concept that apparently is so strange to some of you people. And look, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I don't care if you support the war. I could care less. That's an issue for another day, and that's an issue for another above top secret thread. Whether you support the war in Iraq, whether you support, and look, it's not even a war. I don't even know what I'm talking about here. It's a conflict, okay? The war's over, okay? That's all. We are there at the request of the democratically elected government of Iraq, no different than we are in South Korea at the request of the democratically elected government of South Korea. So some of you people need to get your facts straight in this illegal Bush war bunch of crap. And you use that excuse to slam these men and women who are brave enough to stand up and do what you can't do, what you won't do. Not that you can't do it. Some of you could. You're just too big a coward. Okay? Yeah, there I said it. All right? They're brave. You're cowards. And now look, military service isn't for anybody or isn't for everybody, and that's a fact. And I don't have any problem with that. The problem that I have is those people who don't step up and then spend their time calling these soldiers baby killers and terrorists. Look, you don't even know what you're talking about. Let me tell you something. Those boys and girls are over there during the times in their life when they're supposed to be driving down a dirt road with Sally Sue or Bobby Joe in the side seat of a Camaro drinking beer and pulling up to bonfires with their friends and roasting marshmallows and doing all of the things that we did when we were growing up. Well, you know what? Instead of doing that, they're over there in 120 degree heat fighting and dying so that you can go to their funerals and raise protest flags, or you can hold up placards when they get off the plane calling them baby killers and terrorists. And let me tell you something, I'm sick of it, and I'm sick of the hypocrisy that's shown to these boys and girls, and it needs to stop. And some of you people need to get a clue, or you need to get the hell out of this country and get into some country where you don't have that freedom. Then write me a letter and tell me how wonderful it was while you were here. Because it's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous and it's hypocritical. And some of you people need to get a clue. All right, so what if you don't support the war? I don't care. If you don't support the conflict, I don't care. If you don't support Afghanistan, I don't care. You need to support the men and women that are brave enough to do what you won't do. That's who you need to support. It's a real easy concept, and I'll help you with it as much as I can here. Okay, we'll call this an instructional rant. It's just this simple. They are free men and women, citizens of this great nation. They chose. They volunteered. They were not inducted. They were not drafted. They volunteered to put on a uniform and go into a combat zone where they will be shot at. They are subject to IEDs, roadside bombs, RPGs, AK-47s, exactly the same as you are subject to mosquito bites, red ant hills, bad coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, and traffic jams. Now, take a look at the comparison and tell me your life is so bad because we're over there fighting so those people can have freedom. Some of us, that's correct, some of us went over there. And some of us saw what it's like. Some of us might have went over there and taught some people some things and got to know the people and got to understand how terrible their plight was under Saddam. But that's, again, for another thread and another rant. People, step up, be human, be proud, and support these boys and girls. This is Homer Fife, and that's just the way I see it.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.